Shalom to all. Today's episode is Shalom Yivam Mustaf Chesed. We're starting right at the top of the Amud. And today's episode sponsor Lili Nishmas, Marsh Mermes, Arbaz, Biakam, Moshe, Hernish, Shamash, and Havan Aliyah. So we do talking a little bit about Yuchsin, proper genealogy. And the Gemara in Kiddushin tells us that when Ezra came up from Bavel, meaning when at the end of Gaulus Bavel, Ezra's cipher went up to Eretz Yisrael to begin rebuilding the base of Mikdash, he cleaned out Bavel, which means anyone who had a Suffolk Yuchsin, if there was a potential issue in their genealogy, maybe there was a psul, maybe there wasn't, and for sure those who were Vadai, he took up with them. And then for the people whom he left in Bavel, they were perfectly fine with Yuchsin. You can marry them. You know they didn't have any issue with their yichus. So the Gemara tells us, Rabbi Yisrael Bon says, "B'shem Nachbar Yaakov, Bavel Yuchsin." We know that Bavel is kosher and Yuchsin. That's only Adin Har Zroik up until the river Zroik. Now Rabbi Yisrael Bon Amr, he says that Rav Shmuel they argue Chad Amr Adin Har Zroik. One says up until the Zroik River, whereas Chad Amr the other one says Adin Har Vanai. It's up until the Vanai River. Now Rabbi Yehuda Amr he says Bein Hanaharos Kigol Yuchsin in between the two rivers. That's in between the two main rivers, the Chidekel and Pras. That's where the majority of Bavel is. So that's just like Gaila for Yuchsin. Gaila refers to pump. Padisa, meaning that entire area has kasher yichas. Now, what about areas beyond Bavel? So, Chanina Breika says, "Rishon Rabbi Yehuda, Bnei Mesha, the people of Mesha, which is past Bavel, loy chashaluhu el mishum savek chalalos. They weren't chayshesh regarding yichas over there, except for savek chalalos. Why is that? Because of kaihanim shesham like pidu al grushas. The kaihanim that lived there, they weren't makbid about not marrying a grusha. Meaning, in terms of mamzerais, there's no reason to be chayshesh. Everyone is kasher there. However, specifically in regards to kaihanim marrying women who were divorced, grushas, the union is going to make a chalal, which is simply a pasul." But still a kosher yid, so that's the doubt in regards to people of Mesha. Now Taman over there, Karyun Lamesha Mesa, they used to call Mesha Mesa because they held that it was Pasul Yuchsin, whereas Lamadai Chayla, they would call the people who came from Madai sick, and that's because the majority of sick people get better, and therefore the majority of people in Madai had kosher yichus, and Elam Vigav Chai, these two places, Geisesais, they used to call the people from there Geisesais. We know that a person who's a Geisesais is on their deathbed, and since the majority of Geisesais pass away, it's the same thing, the majority of people of Elam and Gav they do not have kasher yichos. Chaval Yama, Chelta de Bavel, the area of Chaval Yama, that's the choicest, that's the best part of Bavel in regards to yichos. And Shnia is, according to some Gersas, we take out this word. And here we have three places: Avanya, Begav Chaya, Vitzutzraya, Chelta de Chaval Yama, that's the best of Chaval Yama, meaning they have the greatest and best yichos in these places. Now go back to our Mishnah, where we had this machlokes b'sham b'shil, but we had said that they had no problem marrying each other. So we continue discussing this as the Gemara, Aval b'shenachu b'sham b'shil, even though b'sham b'shil argue in the following things. Number one, Bitsarais. We already know this from our Mishnah. They're regarding Tsaris Erva. Is she Mutter Nibum or not? Beshame says yeah, Bishol says no. And also Uba Chayes, they argue in regards to sisters. We're going to see this later on in Mesechta, where we have two brothers married to two sisters. Both of those brothers die, and both of those sisters are falling to other brothers' Yibum. So everybody holds that the sisters need Chalitza and their Asr Yibum. But there's Machlaikas. Let's say one of the brothers was Miyabim. Is he allowed to stay married to that sister or no? Another Machlaikas, Zubiget Yashan, an old get. The person wrote a get to divorce his wife, and then he was miyachid with her. Beishamai says no problem, he could still use that get. According to Beis Hillel, he's not allowed to. It was a vegeshes ish, and a woman who's a suffolk ishes ish. This specifically refers to miyun. This machlik we're going to see later on as well in between Beisham Beis Hillel and makadish shavapruta. Somebody who's makadish is just a shavapruta. This machlik is in kiddushin. How much money needs to be used for kiddushin? Beis Hillel says just a shavapruta. Beishamai says it needs to be more. It needs to be a dinner. If a person already divorced his wife and then he slept together in the same room with her at an inn, there's machlik gets whether or not we're chashish if he actually lived with her, or if they just happen to have slept in the same room, and therefore maybe she would need a new get. Really, just mentioned this before, a woman needs to be kudeshes with a dinner or something valued as dinner, not a pruta. So even though they have machlekes in regards to all these women, Beishamai didn't withhold marrying women from Beis Hillel and vice versa. El rather, they used to act towards each other with truth and peace. Shenemar, the pasuk says, you shall love truth and peace. Ask the Gemara, how could this be? Mamzer spent time, machlekes between them in these cases we just mentioned is an issue of mamzeros. According to one camp, a person from the other camp is considered a mamzer, and you're telling me this, that they would have no problem marrying women from the other side? So we further declare, hey chavida, how is this? Meaning, what does that mean that there's going to be a mamzer? So we take one example, kiddush harishon b'shavat pruta v'sheni b'dinner. Let's say a woman accepts kiddushin from man number one, and that kiddushin was a pruta, and then she accepts kiddushin from man number two, and that kiddushin was a dinner. So according to Beis Hillel, she's considered married to the first person, whereas according to Beis Shammai, she's only married to the second one. And therefore, al dainu de Beis Shammai, according to Beis Shammai, mekudeshes l'sheni, she's mekudeshes to the second one, v'havlad mamzer min rishon, and if she has a child from the first one, that's a mamzer. And al dainu de Beis Hillel, mekudeshes l'rishon, according to Beis Hillel, she's mekudeshes to the first one, and therefore, v'havlad mamzer min hasheni, if she has a child from the second one, that child will be a mamzer. So we see that in this situation, each camp is going to say that according to us, the child from this union is a mamzer. So we say that Beis Hillel married into Beis Shammai and vice versa. So the answer is, Yaakov bar Acha says, "Rabbi Yochanan, ma'ad Beis Shammai lo Beis Hillel lo chomren." Beis Shammai is ma'ad to Beis Hillel in a case of chomra when we have to be chayshish. For example, in this case we just mentioned. husband, so then they would agree that she needs a get from both men, and she's not allowed to marry either of them. Fine, we've still only answered up one issue. According to this, the Beis Shammai is machmir, so it turns out the Beis Shammai would be allowed to marry women from Beis Hillel, but Beis Hillel would not be allowed to marry women from Beis Shammai, because according to Beis Hillel, there's certain situations that women from Beis Shammai would be considered mamzerim. And therefore, if he listens to Shem Yechanon, a different answer, elu ve'elu ke halacha hayu oisin, both of them would go like the halacha, which means both agreed to Beis Hillel. In other words, Beis Shammai in practice went like Beis Hillel. It's only in the Beis Medrash that they would argue about this, but when it came to the bottom line halacha, how they would act, Beis Shammai would go like Beis Hillel. Asking more, im ke halacha hayu oisin, if they really would actually go like the halacha, so in Bedat Tanina, and how do we understand that was taught in the following Mishnah, the Shochul hen Beis Shammai, Beis Shammai sent them some people, Pechsua, and they opened it up. Beis Shammai, Beis Shammai says, Ad Shivchas is Ruba, the majority has to be opened. This is first a case where there's a pool of water that did not have enough for a mikvah, however, it was connected via a pipe to a spring, and the spring was a kosher mikvah. And this is called Hashaka. This is actually how the majority of our mikvahs are nowadays. When a person goes to the mikvah, they're not actually being tevil in the rainwater or the spring water, they're being tevil in a pool, which is connected via a pipe to the actual mikvah, and that makes the whole thing considered a mikvah. And there's machlekes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, what's necessary? According to Beis Hillel, that pipe only needs to be the width of Shviferes Hanoid. It doesn't need to have the opening the width of a flask, and that's considered a connection to the main mikvah. Whereas Beis Shammai says, no, it has to be Rav opened, it has to be much wider. And we just quoted this Mishnah that Beis Shammai sent some Talmidim, and they were Pechsuha. They opened it up, they made it wider. As we see, Beis Shammai does not agree to Beis Hillel. And so Amar Rabbi Yisrael Bun, he clarifies further, Ad Shaloi Ba Maisa Eitzel Beis Hillel, Hayu Beis Shammai Noigin Bai. As long as there wasn't a situation by Beis Hillel, so Beis Shammai would touch it. Misha Ba Maisa Eitzel Beis Hillel, it's only once the story came to Beis Hillel, Loi Hayu Beis Shammai Noigin Bai, so then Beis Shammai wouldn't touch it. In other words, when it came to marriage, Beis Shammai had no issue marrying into Beis Hillel, as long as there was never a suffix, there was never discussion about this woman, there was never a Shiloh, there was never any questions, so Beis Shammai relied on Beis Hillel that everything was okay. It's only if there was a situation of suffix, so then Beis Shammai wouldn't get involved in that. But besides for that, Beis Shammai trusted Beis Hillel. In Amar of Avmari, he further clarifies, Yos, this is correct, because Mataninan, what did this mission that we just quoted before regarding the mikvah say? Timu Taharus Lamafreya? Did it say that Beis Shammai was Matame everything previously dunked in this mikvah because they held that this wasn't a kosher mikvah? Loi, it doesn't say that. Mikan Ulaba. It only says from then on, meaning up until then, they said the mikvah was perfectly fine. They relied on everything. There was no issues. It was only once they found out that maybe there was a suffix with this mikvah. So then, until they fixed it, they wouldn't rely on the mikvah. But before they heard that there was any issues and there was problems, they relied on 100%. And again, it's the same thing with the women from Beis Hillel. They both camps relied on each other. They would marry freely into the other camp as long as there was no chashashas, there was no stories, there was no rumors, there was no issues. So they had no problem marrying into each other. We discuss this. Rabbi Yisrael Ben Amar, he says that Rav Shmuel argue. Chad Amar, one of them says Elu ve'elu kehalacha ayu oisin. Both of them, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel went kehalacha, meaning Beis Shammai agreed to Beis Hillel lehalacha. Whereas the Chad Amar, the other one says Elu kelchasan ve'elu kelchasan. Each one went like their own halacha, which means that Beis Shammai went like their own shita and Beis Hillel went like their shita, and Beis Shammai did not end up agreeing to Beis Hillel. So the Gemara continues asking Chad Amar Beis on top. According to the second opinion, Mamzerus Ben Taim Vatar Merhachin. There's an issue of Mamzerus in between them, and Beis Shammai is going according to their shita, and Beis Hillel is going according to their shita. So we're back to original issue that each one of them holds that in the other camp there's people who are considered mamzerim, and so how do they freely marry into each other? This doesn't make sense. And so according to this shita, the answer is hamakom mishamer v'lo yiru ma'aseh me'olam. Hashem guarded them, and no situation like that ever happened. Even though you're right, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel held that in the other camp there's people who are for sure mamzerim. Nonetheless, they still married into each other, and Hashem made it that no one ever married somebody whom they considered a mamzer. And katatani, this is like the following brayso. Kol writes al hachmer al atzmai leinu chomer Beis Shammai chomer Beis Hillel. Anyone who wants to be machmer on themselves and holding the chomers of Beis Shammai and the chomers of Beis Hillel, I'll say nemar about this person. The pasuk says vaksel b'chashah chaylech, and the fool goes in darkness. He's a fool that he's just going with chomer according to everybody. Whereas kakuli elu ve'elu nikra rasha. If he wants to go like the kulas of both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, so he's called rasha. Ella oikidiv Beis Shammai kakulein uchomerin oikidiv Beis Hillel kakulein uchomerin. He has to choose. He has to pick a side. He could either go like Beis Shammai, both like their kulas and chomers, or he could go like Beis Hillel, like their kulas and chomers. Harvard tells us the Gemara how the Tamer this was said ad shaloyatz's baskoil. That's before the baskoil came out. Avom shatz's baskoil. Once the baskoil came out, telling us that the halachas like Beis Hillel, la'olam halacha gidiv Beis Hillel. The halachas always like Beis Hillel. V'chol ayral dibur Beis Hillel chayv misa. And anyone who's ayral dibur Beis Hillel, he's chayv misa. And Tony, we have a brayso. Yatzah baskoil va'amra. Baskoil came out and said elu ve'elu dibur kim chayim heim. That both these and those are the words of lekim chayim, meaning both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are correct. Av halacha ke Beis Hillel la'olam. However, the halacha we paskin the way we're supposed to act is like Beis Hillel. And Ubeichon Yatzis Baskol, where did this Baskol came out? Ravi Bishin Riechon Omar, Biyavna Yatzis Baskol, in Yavna, which is where Sanhedrin was for a while. that's when this baskal came out. Erech Chaim Kanievsky points out that even though we had learned at the end of the previous Masechta, Maseches Ma'od Katan, that Emashgichim baskal, we don't pay attention to what a baskal says. That's only when there's machlekes, yachid v'rabim, when we have an individual arguing with the majority, and baskal says that the halacha is like the yachid, then we don't pay attention. But over here, it's rabim versus rabim. It's Beis Shammai against Beis Hillel, and we simply have a suffix. We don't know who to go like. But then we could follow the baskal. Hajlach Perach Hamishas Yinoshim, Malzor finishing the first paragraph of Maseches Yevamos, just like we Zechah finished this paragraph together. We should Zechah finish the entire Masechta together, and of course, all of Shas Yerushalmi together. Moving right to the brand new parak, the Mishnah tells us, Ketzad Eishes Achiv Shalai Ba'olamai. What's the case of Eishes Achiv Shalai Ba'olamai? This is basically the end of the first mission of the previous parak. It tells that Eishes Achiv Shalai Ba'olamai, the wife of the brother that wasn't in this world, that's considered an erva and there's no yibam. So what exactly is this case? So here we have it. Shnei Achin, we have two brothers, Reuven and Shimon, Umeis Echad Mehen, and then one of them dies, that's Reuven. V'noed Lehen Ach, then another brother was born to them, meaning their father now had another child named Levi. V'achar Kach Yab Meshin Yis Eishes Achiv, then the second one, meaning Shimon, he did Yibam to Reuven's wife, Umeis, and then Shimon died. So now Shimon's two wives, one of them is Reuven's, and one of them is his current wife. They're both falling to Levi, this new brother. So Rishayna, Yotzim Shum Eishes Achiv Shalei Ba'olamai, the first one, that's Reuven's wife, she goes free, there's nothing needed, because she's Eishes Achiv Shalei Ba'olamai. Levi wasn't alive when Reuven died, so Reuven's wife is considered Erva to Levi, and Vashni Mishum Tsarasa, the second one, meaning Shimon's wife, she goes free because she's Tsaras Erva. However, what about the following case? Asa Ba'maimer, let's say after Reuven died and the Levi was born, Shimon only did Mimer to Reuven's wife. Mimer is basically a kiddushin where he gave her money or a shtar saying that you're mikudashas to me. This is a word that's only used by Yibum, meaning instead of being bail her, that's what Yibum is. He lives with her as man and wife. So instead of doing that, he just did Mimer. He gave her kiddushin. So that's not considered a full marriage. It's only a quasi marriage. And then after this Mimer, Umeis, Shimon died, Shnia Chaletzes Vlemis Havemes, the second wife, meaning Shimon's original wife, she gets Chalitza, not Yibum. That's because Shimon was only partially married to Reuven's wife. Therefore, Shimon's original wife is not considered a full-fledged Tsaras Erva, so that's why she needs Chalitza and no Yibam. Here we have a drasha. The pasuk tells us Yachtav together, namely Ki Yeshvu Achim Yachtav, when brothers are living together. What does that tell us? Probably Eishes Achiv Shalei Ba'olamai. It excludes Eishes Achiv Shalei Ba'olamai. That's because they weren't Yachtav. Reuven and Levi weren't living together at the same time. Levi was born only after Reuven died, and that's what Yachtav tells us. And ask the Gemara, what do we need this word Yachtav for? Deloy Kein Man and Amrin. Without this, what would we say? Meaning, without having the word Yachtav, would you have a Havamina that Eishes Achiv Shalei Ba'olamai is Chayv in Yibum? Well, then you would have to say as follows, that Meis B'lei Banim, if a man died without children, and he doesn't have brothers either, Tei Ishta Asrulina say, that his wife is Asr to marry Lashuk. She's not allowed to marry a random man, because Shema Yoled Av Ben, maybe his father is going to give birth to another son, Utei Ishta Zgugal Yibum, and then his wife is going to be Chayv in Yibum. And if you want to say, yeah, that's actually true, well then Me'ata, if that's so, Afilu Meisa Imai, that would mean that even if Reuven's mother died, Tehei Ishta Asruli Nase, still his wife shouldn't be allowed to get married to somebody because Shema Yelech Aviv V'Yisla Isha Cheras, maybe Reuven's father is going to get remarried to a different woman, V'Yaylid Ben, and then she's going to have a son, Utei Ishta Zekukul Yibam, and now Reuven's wife is going to be Chavin Yibam. And if you want to say, yeah, that's also true, well then V'Yom Akroya, the Pasuk should tell us, Uben Ve'av Ein Lai, that if a man dies and he doesn't have a child or a father, but since the Pasuk does not say that, it only says if a man doesn't have a child, and it doesn't say anything about not having a father, so it's obvious that this woman is not zakuk to yibum when it comes to Eishes Achiv Shalei Ba'olamai. And so what do we have to have the word yachtav for? The Gemara answers, you're 100% right. Just from the basic reading of the pasuk, we automatically know that Eishes Achiv Shalei Ba'olamai is patur yibum. So elakein and kamin, what are we referring to? Meaning, what do we need the word yachtav for? It's for the following case, kishemais. It's where a fellow died. V'niach es imay meuberes. That's a proper girsa. It's where his mother was pregnant. Meaning, Reuven died without children, and Reuven's mother was pregnant. Shaloi toimar. Don't say that ilu meis v'niach es ishtem uberes. That if Reuven died and his wife was pregnant, Shema in Tzrichel Hamtin, Vlida in Ben Kayama, Uvim Eina Ben Kayama, doesn't she for sure have to wait until she gives birth to see if it's a Ben Kayama or not? Meaning when Reuven dies and he doesn't have children, but his wife is pregnant, of course she would have to wait to see if that pregnancy is going to go full term and if the baby is going to be viable and live, and only then we're going to know if she's Pater from Yibum. If it goes full term and the baby lives, so then she's Pater from Yibum because it turns out that her husband had a child, whereas if the pregnancy is not full term and the baby doesn't live, so then turns out that her husband died without children, then she'd be Chayv in Yibum. So too over here, when Reuven dies and his mother's pregnant, maybe you would say, Tei Yichel Hamtin, that Reuven's wife has to wait, Veleidam ben Kayama, Huvimena ben Kayama, and see if her mother-in-law gives birth. Maybe that's going to be a boy, maybe she's going to be Chayv Nibom or not. Lefum Kain Sorch Meimar, that's why the Pasuk has to tell us, Yachtov together, Prat Le'eshes Achash Le'Bai Lamai. It excludes this case, namely when Reuven dies and his mother is pregnant, that baby in his mother's stomach is considered Eshes Achash Le'Bai Lamai. Memela, Reuven's wife, does not have to wait and she's not Chayv Nibom. Now we're stopping for the day. We'll pick up tomorrow with a whole discussion regarding Mimer, as we mentioned at the end of the Mishnah, that there's something called Mimer, and that's not full-fledged Yibum, so we're going to discuss what exactly it is, but for now, everyone should have a wonderful day!